Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Teacher Place Podcast. I'm your host, Corey. And with me, like always, is James. How's it going, James?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man.
All right. Today, we got yet another set here to talk about.
Yeah, today we got Commander Masters. We're just going to talk about the new cards. We're going to talk about, there's a million reprints in Commander Masters.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about those.
So we're just going to talk about the 40 new cards that exist between the Commander decks and the set boosters.
Yeah, there is some pretty crazy stuff in here. So this is going to be really fun to talk about. It's been kind of fun watching these kind of slowly become public. And we were talking about some of these in the chat. So in our chat with our friends.
Yeah, so, the Discord, which is free to join. You can come join that and hang out. You can support us on Patreon. You can check us out over there, patreon.com/mtgplace. Look at all our different tier levels, of cool perks you get. You can support us by following us on YouTube. We got tons of videos coming out. You can follow us on YouTube. Plug our podcast or whatever your content to your friends if you like it. Let us know what you like and don't like. We're always accepting feedback.
Yeah, we appreciate whatever you give us.
We have tons of videos coming out on there. Like this month, we have almost a video a month. So hopefully you like some of those. Lots of gameplay content have been on there. Like James is playing from our last podcast episode, he played through the matches that's on there. We have some Vintage Cube drafts that Josh did. We got some other gameplay videos that I've recorded that are coming out later this month. So should be
a lot going on, a lot to check out. Just keep your eyes peeled. We'll be uploading stuff a lot. So,
all right. So, Commander Masters, have you played it? Does it look cool? Do you know any of the cards?
I know a couple of them. I've not played it, but we will find out quickly.
Yeah, I did do a couple of drafts on MTGO. Won both of them. It was fun. Mm-hmm. It's interesting building a 60-card commander deck in a draft
form. Yeah, it's a little different, that's for sure.
But definitely these new cards are the ones you need to know about, because like the other ones are just reprints, right? So I can get Jeweled Lotus for cheaper because it's reprinted. Yeah. So obviously, if you need any commander staples, go pick them up. Like, I think Cyclonic is down to like under $20, like $20.
Yeah, that's huge.
The medallions are all around $20 right now because they're just reprinted. So, like, if all those staples you play in all your decks, you pick them up for cheap right now.
Yeah, it's the time to get them 100%. They're not going to be much cheaper, so since a lot of them are reprinted. So, we're just going to do this rule book like we always do, starting with white. There's only 40-some cards, so this will not take too long. The first we got here is Battle at the Hell Vault. It is a saga enchantment. 4 white, 6 total. First chapter and second chapter are both for each player exile up to 1 target non-saga, non-land permanent that player controls until Battle at the Hell Vault leaves the battlefield. And then chapter 3 is create Avacyn, a legendary 8/8 white angel creature, token with flying, vigilance, and indestructible. So you literally just create Avacyn.
So you exile a non-saga, non-land permanent. So 2 turns, you basically exile something under it, and then you get Avacyn, and then they get their stuff back. Okay.
Interesting. Yeah. It's like a resto angel effect, and then you get Avacyn. So,
sure. I mean, Avacyn that doesn't make all of his stuff indestructible, but
It's just indestructible, but it's still not bad.
Next up, we got Boon of the Spirit Realm, which is white, and 3 for an enchantment. Boon of the Spirit Realm or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, put a blessing counter on Boon of the Spirit Realm. Creatures you control get +1/+1 for each blessing counter on Boon of the Spirit Realm. So if you have an enchantment deck, this can make a creature pretty good.
This is for you. especially like the Eidolons and whatnot are probably going to be really good with this, since they are also enchantments.
Yeah.
So, Next up, we got Gatewatch Beacon. It is 2 and a white for an artifact. Gatewatch Beacon enters the battlefield with 3 loyalty counters on it. Then it has tap, add a white. Whenever a planeswalker enters the battlefield under your control, if Gatewatch Beacon has loyalty counters on it, you may move a loyalty counter from Gatewatch Beacon onto your planeswalker. So you're buffing your planeswalkers here, basically, is what it's looking like. So kind of a super friends thing, maybe.
Yeah, there's 3 loyalty. I mean, it's a mana rock, right?
And it's also a mana rock, yeah.
You know, for white. And when you have planeswalker, you can put loyalty counters on. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
I mean, if you're playing a super friends deck, you'd probably play it, right?
Yeah, I think no brainer. I mean, it's a mana rock that also buffs your planeswalkers. Like, yeah, you want you know get Gideon huge or something, or you want to get Elspeth huge. Well, there you go. You know, a quick way to do it.
Yep. next up, we got Onake Oathkeeper, which is 1 and a white for a 0/4 Ogre Spirit. Creatures can't attack planeswalkers you control unless the controller pays 1 for each creature they control that's attacking a planeswalker you control. Pay 4 white-white, exile this from your graveyard, return target planeswalker card from your graveyard to the battlefield.
So, more Super Friends synergy here is what it looks like.
Yeah, and it's kind of like a ghostly prison for planeswalkers.
Yeah, prison cool. For planeswalkers, yeah.
And late game, you can just bring back something with it if it's in your graveyard.
Yeah, that's really good. Pretty sweet. It's like, okay, let's bring back Ugin.
Yeah, exactly. Let's bring back Ugin.
Okay. Yep. Seems very good for that synergy. Next up, we have Ondu Spirit Dancer. It is 4 and a white for a 3/3 core cleric creature. Whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, you may create a token that's a copy of it. Do this only once each turn. So you can copy your enchantments.
Keep making 3/3s.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Not bad at all.
Good in Enchantress deck.
Yeah, yeah. Totem armor or something like that.
next up, cool. We got Regal Sliver, 3 and a white for a 3/3 sliver creature.
Ew, slivers. Oh,
well,
my
one of the precon decks is a sliver deck, so there's going to be quite a few slivers probably. Yeah. So this sliver is 4 mana for a 3/3 sliver. Sliver creatures you control, so only yours, not all. Have when this creature enters the battlefield, slivers you control get +1/+1 until end of turn if you're the monarch. Otherwise, you become the monarch.
So we now have the monarch slither, basic sliver.
Yep, monarch sliver.
Yeah. So cool, you get a buff and you're the monarch.
Sweet. Well, you get a buff if you're the monarch. Well, otherwise, you
you're the monarch. Yeah.
Definitely incentivizes snowballing the slivers, so you can just get a big buff.
Yeah. I mean, that's always what those decks do. Like, they just want to get huge. They're just as aggro as can be. All right. Next, we got Teo, the geometric tactician. He is 2 and a white for a legendary planeswalker named Teo that comes into play with 3 loyalty counters. He has a constant of when Teo, geometric tactician, enters the battlefield, create a 0/4 white wall creature token with defender and flying. So actually it's ETB, sorry, not a constant. And then he has a +1. You and target opponent each draw a card. And then he has a -2 of choose left or right until your next turn. Each player may attack only the nearest opponent in the last chosen direction and planeswalkers controlled by that opponent. Wow, so this really changes the course of like how things pan out.
It's interesting because it's continuous white card draw.
Yeah.
That's the best part of it. Right?
Crazy, like, yeah.
And then if you want, you can make only the people only attack their left or right. So if you're just getting wrecked by somebody across the table, you're like, well, now you can't hit me. Yeah. So
that's kind of cool. Kind of like almost like an Odric kind of effect, slightly.
Yeah, there's another card that does that. I can't remember what it is. Yeah. But I think it's a multicolor card, the one that does it.
Right. Well, those are our white cards.
Yeah, they seem okay.
Yeah, not bad. Lots of enchantment and planeswalker synergy with these, it looks like. So,
yeah, so let's see what we got for cool blue stuff. Here. First one up is Spark Shaper Visionary. 2 and a blue for a 0/5 human wizard. At the beginning of combat on your turn, choose any number of target planeswalkers you control. Till end of turn, they become 3/3 bird creatures with flying, hexproof, and when they deal combat damage to a player, scry 1.
Interesting.
So your planeswalkers can turn into birds to attack.
Sweet.
Kind of like the Sarkon one makes them all dragons until end of turn, but this makes them all birds with flying and hexproof until end of turn.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Definitely good.
And they have hexproof, so they can't, they can't be targeted, so that's pretty good.
Yep.
If it doesn't have, like, flash or something, that'd be busted. Oh. But it's blue. There's ways to make stuff happen. You can make it happen.
Yeah, it only triggers on your turn, too, not, like, your opponent's, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But so. It's just like, okay, I use all my Planeswalker's abilities, now I make them into creatures to swing, you know. So again, so for some more damage, and then end of turn, they're going to go back to being planeswalkers.
Yeah. Interesting card. Very, very interesting. we have another sliver. It's Taunting Sliver. 3 and a blue for a 3/3 sliver creature. Sliver creatures you control have, when this creature enters the battlefield, goad target creature and opponent controls. Corey's favorite mechanic.
Yeah, I hate this mechanic. I think it's dumb. I think it's the worst. I got two promos from Commander Masters now. And it's you know what card it is? It's the card that for 6 mana goads everything. I'm like, this card is trash. Don't want it. Terrible. I don't like goad. I know that there's scenarios where it's good. And there's a whole deck built around it, but I personally think it's a dumb mechanic.
Thing, but yeah. So you got the goad sliver. Hope you're happy.
Not playing that in my sliver deck. Sorry, you're out.
Easy cut.
First cut from that from the Peacon. All right, next up we got a new Titan. Okay, I like Titans. Yeah. So we got 4 Titans blue blue. It's a 6/6 illusion. Titan of, what is that, Lijara?
Yeah, sure.
as this blue Titan that's just battlefield, choose a creature type. It is the chosen type in addition to its other types. When it enters the battlefield or attacks, you draw a card for each other creature you control that shares a creature type with it, and then discard a card.
Wow.
So I'll play this in my sliver deck and draw like 5 cards and discard one.
Shit ton of cards. Seems
very good.
Very good
in a basically any.
Yeah.
Tribal because deck. Any typal deck.
Typal, yeah. Yeah, seems good. Lots of card draw. And those kind of tribal decks usually want that, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, next up you got Vronos, Masked Inquisitor. It is 3 blue blue for a legendary planeswalker named Vronos. Comes into play with 5/5 legacy or loyalty counters. So that's a lot of loyalty counters coming with. Plus 1 up to 2 other target planeswalkers you control phase out. Oh, we were just talking about that. Funny. nonetheless, the thing we recorded. Up to 2 other target planeswalkers you control phase out at the beginning of the next end step. -2 For each opponent, return up to one target non-land permanent that player controls to its owner's hand. -7, so basically the alt, target artifact you control becomes a 9/9 construct artifact creature and gains vigilance, indestructible, and this creature can't be blocked. Oh, how nice.
Well, the good news is in two turns you can make an artifact of 9/9, unblockable 9/9.
Yeah, that's really
that's basically good. What you're playing it for. Yeah. I guess the -2 bounce, like if you're commander, bounce three things for -2 is pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. I mean, yeah, assuming you're playing with a full pod, that's a pretty good.
And then it can protect other planeswalkers too.
Yeah, so that's good for Super Friends. Basically, makes them so that they can't. And of course, remember,
Super Friends. You can play this in artifacts.
And remember, like with phasing, that's not going to affect the loyalty counters because it's still technically in play. It's not exiled. It's just it doesn't exist until the next turn.
Right.
So the counters stay on it. So it's really good.
All right. That's it for blue.
Blue, yeah. Pretty cool. Not bad stuff here. I mean,
pretty good, except for the worst that ever printed. In my opinion, it's one of the worst slivers ever printed. I mean, is it like, would I rather play the one drop that gives slivers +0/+1? Yes, I would rather play that.
Fair enough. Oh, man. All right, round to black, round of your color.
On to black. Five black. The first card is Cacophony Unleashed. 5 black for an enchantment. When Cacophony Unleashed enters the battlefield, if you cast it, destroy all non-enchantment creatures.
Okay, gross. So right.
When Cacophony Unleashed or another enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, until end of turn, Cacophony Unleashed becomes a legendary 6/6 Nightmare God creature with Menace and Death Touch that's still an enchantment.
Ooh, okay.
So it's a board wipe. And then when you play enchantments, you get a 6/6 that can swing in.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Not bad at all.
It's a little annoying that you have to cast it for the 7 to destroy all non-enchanted creatures.
Yeah, you can't cheat it out.
It'd be crazy good if you could cheat it in and blow everything up.
Yeah, I know. You'd love that, knowing you're just going to unearth it from the
just going to bring it back from the grave.
So that's what you do.
It's still good.
Yeah, good card. Next up, we got Demon of Fate's Design. It is 4 black for a 6/6 demon enchantment creature, flying and trample. Once during each of your turns, you may cast an enchantment spell by paying life equal to its mana value rather than paying its mana cost. Always fun. And then you can also pay 2 and a black. Sacrifice another enchantment. Demon of Fate's Design gets +X/+1 until end of turn, where X is the sacrifice enchantment's mana value.
So this is really good. You're playing this in that the Mardu enchantment stack with the guy that sacks an enchantment, brings an enchantment back. Because here you're going to be like, okay, sack an enchantment, buff this guy, cast an enchantment for life. Oh, sack the thing, try to get back.
It's like a really good sack. A really good sack outlet for that.
Good for that deck for sure. Especially if you need to like loop ETB triggers on your enchantments.
Right, and then if you run out of mana, well, you can use your life because you know, of course, you can. It's black.
Yeah,
it's like what it's for.
And it's a 6/6 flying trample for 6.
Also, really good. Yeah, not bad at all.
I like that card. I also like that the artwork is kind of like the Theros, whatever, the one that
Return
to Theros or whatever set.
Yeah, it looks really sick.
Next up, we got Ghoulish Impetus. Okay, first off, I hate every Impetus ever printed because I think they're terrible, so let's see if this one's any better. 2 and a black, enchant creature, enchant aura. Chant creature gets +1/+1, has death touch, and is goaded.
Oh, there it is.
Okay. When a championship dies, return Ghoulish Impetus to the battlefield at the beginning of the next end step. Oh, yay! I can goad their creatures, but I give them Death Touch. So they have to attack other people with Death Touch. I'm making my opponent's creature better, but they can't tag me with it. And I can just keep moving this around. I would just rather play a removal spell, okay? I don't want my opponents to just attack my other opponents. Get value off of it. Don't want it.
Why not? They'll kill them for you.
Yes, they will, but I still don't want it.
And then they'll kill you eventually. That's usually how it goes. Let's be real.
Yeah, because, eventually you're the only one left. They have to attack you, and you just gave their creature 1/1 death touch. Exactly. But I guess you could put it on your own creature, but how good is giving your own creature a +1/+1 death touch and has to attack every turn?
Yeah. Unless it's something like really big, then you're going to attack anyway, I guess. But
yeah, but it's just like, then does it really need death touch?
Probably not.
I mean, I guess if you have a token deck, maybe you could throw this on tokens and it'd be okay. You could just make your tokens keep swinging with death touch.
Right.
But
yeah.
I mean, it's better than the other crappy impetuses, but it's still bad in my best.
Still not great.
I still don't like the goad mechanic, so.
Yeah, I know. It's your favorite mechanic ever made. We got another sliver. This is Lazotep Sliver. It is 3 and a black for a 4/4 zombie sliver creature. Sliver creatures you control have afflict 2. So those who don't know what afflict is whenever a creature with afflict 2 becomes blocked, defending player loses 2 life. So get that extra damage in. Whenever a non-token sliver you control dies, a mass sliver's 2. So that's kind of like how the Orc army works in the Lord of the Rings set, but it's slivers instead of
orcs. And previously they had zombies, so
Now
if you have
slivers
in a mass zombie and then in a mass orc and then in a mass sliver, you can have a zombie sliver orc creature army token.
Nice. Just have them all, man.
It's interesting. Like, the Afflict 2 is cool, because like, if they block it, they take 2.
They still take 2.
And then if they kill something, you get something back at least.
Yeah.
4/4/4/4 It's pretty good.
It's good value. Well, that's black.
Sweet.
Black's got some cool stuff.
Yeah, like all the black cards except one.
Yeah, it's not bad. All right, on to red.
We got Capricious Sliver, 3 and a red for a 3/3 sliver. Sliver creatures you control have, whenever this creature deals combat damage to a player, exile the top card of your library. You may play that card this turn. So impulse draw on sliver spewing damage.
I mean, seems it's red. Like, what do you expect?
Very good value for slivers, because slivers always run out of freaking cards in your hand because you play them all. So
now
you have more cards to play.
Because you're always attacking with them. Like, let's be real.
They did a good decent job making all these slivers like 4 cost though. Because if they were any less, it'd be like okay, let's play another sliver deck. If it's any more, it's like okay, it's unplayable. So it's like
pretty much unplayable.
All right, do I want this to be my 4 drop?
Right. So. It's like maybe
because you always play all the slivers that cost like 3 or less. Like
those are like instant add. Yeah, because they're always good. Especially the old ones. Oh my god.
Like the one +2/+0 or whatever.
Yeah. All slivers have protection from a color you choose or whatever. It's those old ones are stupidly good. All slivers have flash. All right, we got another Chandra. Chandra Legacy of Fire is 4 and a red for a planeswalker, legendary planeswalker named Chandra. Comes into play with 3 loyalty counters. And then it has a constant of at the beginning of your end step, Chandra Legacy of Fire deals X damage to each opponent, where X is the number of planeswalkers you control. Really good in Super Friends. +1, add a red mana for each planeswalker you control. Also very good for Super Friends. And then 0. Remove a loyalty counter from each of any number of permanents you control. Exile that many cards from the top of your library. You may play them this turn.
So more impulse draw.
Lots of impulse draw.
this is only playable in Super Friends, right? Like,
yeah, this is 100%
so by itself. Friends support, yeah. By itself, it's a 5 mana, 3 loyalty, plus one, add a red. You know, remove minus, basically minus one, play the top card of your deck, and deal yeah. one damage to your opponent each turn. That's not great.
No, no.
So, like, you need to have what, like, 3 to 4 for us to be good, probably?
Yeah, you definitely want a little army behind Chandra here for her to actually do something. Like, especially for 5 mana, like, that's a lot of mana if you're just doing the vanilla cards. So, yeah.
Next up, we got Descendant's Fury, which is 3 and a red for an enchantment. Whenever one or more creatures you control deal combat damage to a player, you may sacrifice one of them. If you do, reveal cards from the top of your library until you reveal a creature card that shares a creature type with the sacrificed creature. Put that card on the battlefield and the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. So sweet. If you have typal decks, or if you have different ones where you only have like one golem or titan or whatever, and you flip it into Emrakul or whatever, Blightsteel, okay. Something like that. You know? Seems good.
Yeah, it seems real good.
So it definitely has some combo potential, but yeah,
I'd say so.
If you don't build around it, it's terrible. Like,
yeah, it's not gonna do anything otherwise.
But it can be good if you build around it.
In the right deck, this can be very good. Yes. Very, very good. All right. Next, we got Guff Rewrites History. It is 2 and a red for an instant. For each player, choose target non-enchantment, non-land permanent that player controls. Those permanents owners shuffle them into their libraries. Each player who controlled one of those permanents exiles cards from the top of their library until they exile a non-land card, then puts the rest on the bottom of their library in a random order. Each player may cast the non-land card they exile without paying its mana cost. So you're basically forcing everyone to impulse draw here, basically?
Well, you're forcing everyone to, like, Chaos Warp.
Or like, yeah, Chaos
except
Warp.
For,
yeah.
Except for it doesn't whiff on spells because they can just cast it.
Right. Interesting.
So, I mean, it's probably about the same as Chaos Warp then because it's an instant, right? And,
yeah, it's an
instant. And you can't hit enchantments, but, like, if they attack you with a bunch of stuff, I mean, if you're going to lose the game, it's fine to play it.
Yeah, like if you're trying to keep yourself alive.
I mean, plus they could go into like a land fetch or something, and you're like sleep right. Covered in their bomb for a land fetch.
Exactly. It's like, ooh.
A lot of times you do that on their best thing in play, and the thing that gets probably worse.
Yeah, unless you have, you know, the luck of last week where they just put Elishnorn in play and then you cry, but, you know, it doesn't always work the way you want it to. That's the joy of Chaos Warping.
All right. Next up, we got Jaya's Phoenix. 4 and a red for a 3/3 creature, Phoenix, with flying and haste. When it deals combat damage to a player or planeswalker, copy the next loyalty ability you activate this turn when you activate it. You may choose new targets for the copy. Whenever you cast a planeswalker spell, you may return this from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Oh, cool. Okay, so it comes back.
So it's,
and then it copies your Planeswalker's effects, is what it looks like.
Yeah, so it's good in Super Friends.
Yeah, really good for Super Friends yet again.
Phoenix.
And yeah, it's a Phoenix, so as long as you keep playing Planeswalkers, you're going to keep having it come back if I kill it, so not bad at all. And that's red. Red's honestly not too bad. Kind of a interesting mix of impulse drawing slash super friend support, so that's kind of cool. And not bad sliver on top of that. All right, so now we got green here. The first green card is Composer of Spring. It is 1 and a green for a 1/3 Satyr Bard creature. It has Constellation. Whenever an enchantment enters the battlefield under your control, you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. If you control 6 or more enchantments instead, you may put a creature or land card from your hand onto the battlefield tapped. So that's really, really good if you
have six more enchantments.
Yeah, six more enchantments. Just start putting freaking dinosaurs on the field or something.
Definitely good. I mean, it's a enchantress deck, right? So, I mean, most of the time you're probably just going to ramp it into lands because, like, you're going to be playing a lot of enchantments in the enchantment deck. So, like, unless your creatures are also enchantments.
Yeah, so. If you're playing like Eidolons or something, then sure.
Oh, that's really nuts, though. If you have six enchantments and then you put a creature enchantment in because then it's going to trigger this again.
Yeah, it doubles it.
So it's going to be like, oh, put an enchantment creature in. Oh, put another one in. Oh, put another one in. It's going to be like, dump my hand.
Just dump your hand. Yeah, yeah, you just have to, like, you know, draw a shit ton. Like, you harmonize that turn before or something. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it seems really good. And it's 2 for 1/3. Hey, and it's a bard creature.
Yeah. Yeah, not bad.
All right, next up we got For the Ancestors. 2 and a green for an instant. Choose a creature type. Look at the top 6 cards of your library. You may reveal any number of cards of the chosen type from among them and put the revealed cards into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom in a random order and has flashback for 3 and a green. So if you're playing a typal deck, choose dragons. Could possibly get a few dragons into your hand and then flashback, get some more or whatever.
Yeah. That flashback's really nice for sure. Fun stuff. Yeah, that's got 6 cards. That's like better than the Congregation at Dawn, even.
Well, Congregation at Dawn is just search for 3s and then put it on.
Or top. I guess that's search, yeah, never mind.
If you Congregation at Dawn first, you're gonna get draw 3 at least.
Yeah. That'd be pretty good. That'd be a good combination with this. All right. Let's see. Next, we got the green sliver here. It is Hatchery Sliver. It is 1 and a green for a 2/2 sliver creature with replicate. You pay 1 and a green for that. So when you cast this spell, copy for each time you paid its replicate cost. Each sliver spell you cast has replicate. The replicate cost is equal to its mana cost.
That's really not good, bad. At least for not the non-legendary slivers.
Yeah.
Especially like Muscle Sliver or whatever, the one that gives +1/+1.
Yeah, the ones that just
dump have
the
my all my mana into it.
It's like, okay, well, all my slivers are like +6/+6 now. Deal with it.
It's a good sliver. Well, it only costs 2 as well, so.
Yeah, it's really cheap.
Cheap sliver. Next up, we got Nyxborn Behemoth. 10 green, 12 mana for an enchantment creature beast that's a 10/10. And it costs, this spell costs X less to cast, where X is the total mana value of non-creature enchantments you control.
Okay.
So a lot of enchantments you can pay less. It has trample, and it has pay 1 and a green and sacrifice another enchantment. It gains indestructible until end of turn.
Nice. Okay, so protect itself. It has trample. You can literally play this for 2 if you have 10 enchantments in play.
Well, just the mana value. So you just need 10 mana worth of enchantments in play that aren't creatures.
Or, oh, it's the mana. Oh, God, it's even better.
Yeah. So you get like Ghostly Prison, Sphere of Safety, and then this costs like, and that's boom. 8 right there. And so then this costs 4 for a 10/10.
4 for a 10/10. Seems good. Yeah. Enchantment bomb right there. We love it. That's pretty crazy. Yeah, Green's got some good cards. For sure.
Got some good cards.
Good cards. All right, so we are on to multi now. The first multi we have is Anakthea, Hand of Erebos. It is 2... white, black, green for a 4/4 legendary enchantment demigod creature with menace. Other enchantment creatures you control have menace. Whenever Anakthea enters the battlefield or attacks, exile up to 1 target non-aura enchantment card from your graveyard. Create a token that's a copy of that card, except it's a 3/3 black zombie creature in addition to its other types.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
I'm guessing this might be one of the commanders of the deck, or if not, it could be.
It very well could be.
I mean, it seems good to get rid of get rid of my ghostly prison from my graveyard, and I have a ghostly prison on a 3/3.
Yeah.
With you menace. Basically,
it's like, oh yeah, I make a magus of your thing, essentially, mm-hmm. or my thing, or whatever it's in the graveyard. So, yeah, pretty good.
Next up, we got Narsi, Fable Singer. It's one in Abzan, so 4 mana for a 3/3 legendary creature, human bard with lifelink. Whenever you sacrifice an enchantment, draw a card. Whenever the final chapter ability of a saga you control resolves, each opponent loses X life and you gain X life, where X is that saga's mana value.
Okay, so this goes in a saga deck or an enchantment deck or both.
Yeah, saga or enchantment deck. Tom Bombadil.
Tom Bombadil, yep.
Well, and it's nice because like when the final chapter resolves, it gets sacrificed, right? So you're going to draw a new card, and then you're going to trigger that, and you're going to trigger that to then lose life, you gain life.
Yeah.
So it's double good in the saga.
Hella good. Yep. So that's kind of the best case scenario.
Lifelink too.
Yeah. What's for 4 is not terrible, really. And it's pretty good. Yeah, it's got a lot of value. All right. Next up, we got Commodore Guff. He is 1 and Jeskai, or blue, red, white, for 5. Or, sorry, 4, what am I saying? He's a planeswalker that comes into play with 5 loyalty counters. And he has a constant of, at the beginning of your end step, put a loyalty counter on another target planeswalker you control. So that's cute, little support action. He has a +1, create a 1/1 red wizard creature token with tap, add a red mana, spend this mana only to cast a planeswalker spell. Then he also has a -3. You draw X cards and Commodore Guff deals X damage to each opponent, where X is the number of planeswalkers you control. And then he also can be your commander.
Yeah, so super friends.
Super friends commander.
Super good in that.
Yeah, he supports them. You get a bunch of mana that you can basically,
and you can draw cards.
Yeah, you draw cards. Like, sweet.
Next up, we got Liori, Spark Touch Hunter. It is Jeskai, blue, red, white for a 3/3 legendary creature, elemental cat with flying and vigilance. And when it deals combat damage to a player, choose a planeswalker type. Until end of turn, whenever you activate an ability of a planeswalker of that type, copy that ability. You may choose new targets for the copy. So this is good if you have a bunch of Jaces or a bunch of Gideons in play. You can copy them all.
So a bunch of Chandras. All of them. Yeah. So you just choose one in that type. Okay.
Yeah, so you can choose Jace or whatever.
That seems really good. Just make more stuff.
Yep.
We love it.
Be a fun commander and just play a bunch of planeswalkers.
And it has flying and vigilance, so sure. You know, it can also protect them. Next we got Rukurumal, biologist. He is Wooburg, all 5 colors, for a 3/3 legendary creature, human wizard. As Rukurumal, biologist, enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Slivers you control and non-token creatures you control are the chosen type in addition to their other creature types. The same is true for creature spells you control and creature cards you own that aren't on the battlefield. Then you can also pay 3 and tap, add a 1/1 colorless sliver creature token.
So Alrighty. Here you can make everything whatever type you want, and your slivers whatever type you want. Or you could just say sliver, and all your slivers are slivers, everything is not a sliver is a sliver.
Yeah.
And it makes sliver tokens.
It's a baby maker for slivers. Great.
Yeah. So it's not as good as queen, but it's still good.
That's still pretty good, yeah.
Next up, we have the commander from the Sliver deck, Sliver Grave Mother. It's Wooburg, so 5 color, 6/6 legendary creature Sliver. The legend rule doesn't apply to slivers you control. Oh,
screw that.
Each sliver creature card in your graveyard has Encore X, where X is its mana value. And then it itself has Encore for 5 of any color. Just 5 colorless.
5 colorless. That's great. That's disgusting. I hate it.
Why? You don't want me to have like multiple sliver overlords and multiple queens out?
Not really. No. No, I don't. Multiple
sliver legions. Buff them all for every sliver.
Oh my god, that's disgusting. This is disgusting in so many ways, you have no idea. Watsy, so, why are you making slivers busted again? Like,
oh, they were already busted. This week, more busted.
Woo, all right. That's going to be fun to play against. That's busted. Beautiful. Well, that's multi. Yeah, multi's got good stuff. Just saying.
Slivers are back.
Slivers. Slivers are back. Super friends. Yeah, fun stuff. Enchantment stuff. Beautiful. All right, we are on to colorless. Our first colorless card is Abstruse Archaic. It is 4 mana for a 3/4 avatar creature with vigilance. You can pay 1 and tap. Copy target activated or triggered ability you control from a colorless source. You may choose new targets for the copy.
Well, it's good in the deck that it probably comes in, which is the Eldrazi deck.
Yeah. Yep, that makes sense. So you just copy Eldrazi.
I mean, it's any colorless too, right? So you can just use an artifact and copy your artifact's ability too.
Or artifacts, yeah. So. Really good for artifacts.
Next up, we got Calamity of the Titans. It is 4 waste, so it's 2 mana you have to pay with from colorless sources. Like Sol Ring or cards that actually tap for a waste. As additional cost to cast this spell, reveal a colorless creature card from your hand. Exile each creature and planeswalker with mana value less than the revealed card's mana value. So I will reveal my Blightsteel Colossus, and you will exile your board.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Yep. Really good in a Titan deck because you're probably going to have high CM or high mana values. So,
yep. And you're probably gonna have lots of mana rocks to ramp into them too. So,
oh yeah. I mean, you probably have Tron or something. Like, yeah, you'll be great. All right. Next up we got Darksteel Monolith. It is 8 for an artifact. It's indestructible. Once each turn, you may pay 0 rather than pay the mana cost for a colorless spell you cast from your hand. Because why not? Let's play freaking Emrakul for 0. Great. Awesome.
So this is Omniscience for colorless spells.
Freaking Omniscience, yeah.
And it's an indestructible version.
That's disgusting.
At least it's only once. It's only turn, though. But it's still like... Okay, if I'm playing this on my deck, that means I'm playing like a 15 drop or 12 drop or something.
Okay, I'm going to play Kozilek now.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to play Ulamog.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to play Emrakul.
Exactly.
Ugin, even. That would be okay, I guess. Like, oh my god. That's awful. I hate that card so much. I can already see that being played against me. I'm going to cry when it happens.
Now I want to build this deck. Yeah, all my expensive titans in there.
Oh my god, it's gonna be a fun deck to play.
But I'm just like, I kind of want the like, I'm like, you could just play like a green commander though, because then like you would have the fetch for the
ramp
for the Urzatron and stuff.
Yep, that's the way to do it.
All right, next up we got Desecrate Reality. 7 mana colorless instant for each opponent, exile up to 1 target permanent that player controls with an even mana value. 0 counts as even. Adamant, if at least 3 colorless mana was spent to cast a spell, return a permanent card with an odd mana value from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Oh, God. Is Emrakul one of those cards that shuffles in when it dies?
I think so. Okay. But Emrakul is not the legal commander. Well, the old one is not.
The old one, yeah.
I don't remember if the new one shuffles or not.
I don't know either.
I know Ulamog doesn't, but no. I don't know that if that's going into the graveyard because I think it's indestructible. Like,
yeah, it's true. Yeah, you're usually exiling it.
So you're probably returning like a 9 drop or something. I mean, you could return like, you know, Mer-Bow's Sphere or the Meteor Golem or something wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, there's the plenty of good targets you can hit. Spine's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, lots of choices. That's a really interesting card. All right. Next up, we have Flare of Loyalties. It is 8 waste waste for a 10/10 Eldrazi creature. When you cast this spell, gain control of target creature until end of turn. Untap that creature. Until end of turn, it has base power and toughness 10/10, gains trample 2, annihilator 2, and haste. And this card also has annihilator 2, because why the fuck?
And has trample.
Oh, sorry, in trample. Yeah, it's on the very bottom there. Hard to read.
So basically, you can gain control of any one of their creatures to make it a version of this till end of turn. So you're 1/1 token. You have 1/1 token there? All right, that's the only creature you have? Okay, I'm still going to swing at you if it is a 10/10 trample on it too.
Oh, my God. I hate this.
That seems like a great card.
This silly as hell, man. It's the biggest F you ever. It's like, oh, you're gonna have 1/1 soldier tokens? Oh, that's cute. Here, see what I can do.
Well, it's even worse if like you gain control of a good creature. Like, say you take Elish Norn. I now have a 10/10 Elish Norn.
That would be awful.
Tell it a turn. Or like something with an attack trigger, you're attacking them back with it. Like,
Yeah.
Next up we got Amethryst Ghostfire Initiative. It is XX for a 0/0 legendary creature, Spirit Naga. It enters the battlefield with X +1/+1 counters on it. Whenever you put one or more +1/+1 counters on another colorless creature you control, put a +1/+1 counter on this. And when Amethryst dies, manifest the number of cards on the top of your library equal to the number of counters on it. Nice.
Beautiful.
So I place a 4/4 and it dies. I'm going to get 4 manifests when it dies.
That's not bad. Not bad at all.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. All righty. Next. Oh, God. Okay. This card is insane. I'm just going to say right now. First time I saw it, I was like, you've got to be kidding me. It costs a lot for good reason. It is 9 waste, waste, waste. That is 12 mana total for a sorcery. It can't be countered because,
well, if you pay 12 mana, you don't really want
to. You better not be able to counter it. Destroy target permanent. Target player draws 4 cards. Take an extra turn after this one. Exile this card.
Yeah, so blow something up, draw 4, take an extra turn.
Why not?
Take an extra turn, so you get 5. Destroy permanents, probably like 3. Draw 4 is probably worth, you know, the other 4 mana. So it's about even on rate for what you're getting.
Yeah.
So it's not like super great, but it's not super bad either. And if you can somehow cheat this.
If you can cheat this out, then your opponents are going to hate
but me. But can you imagine if someone attacks you with a Tali and gets to cast this for free? Off the top of your deck or something.
Oh my God. that would be awful. I think I picked this card.
Yeah.
It's
a cool card.
Good card. Very good. Does a lot of stuff.
Next up, we got the Skittering Cicada. It is 3 for a 2/2 creature insect with flash. You may cast colorless spells as though they had flash. Whenever you cast a colorless spell until end of turn, Skittering Cicada gains trample and gets +X/+X to a turn where X is that mana value. So it's just a better Shimmer Mirror, basically.
Yeah. Right. That's really good. Okay, yeah, it is till end of turn, right? Okay. But still, like, if you manage to play like a Titan, it's going to get like +10/+10 or something. So,
mm-hmm.
Yep. Should be good in any kind of deck like that. Next card is Ugin's Mastery. It is 4 for an enchantment. Whenever you cast a colorless creature spell, manifest the top card of your library. And then whenever you attack with creatures with total power 6 or greater, you may turn a face-down creature you control face-up. So we're doing morph or something here?
Well, the manifest is like a morphed creature.
Oh, right, because the manifest.
So okay. Like if you end up manifesting your Blightsteel or something, you then turn it up when you attack with 6 power worth of creatures.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Instead of paying the mana cost to flip it. So.
That's just silly.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Zuhulodok Void Gorger. I don't know. I probably butchered that name, but whatever. 5 and a waste for a 7/4 legendary creature Eldrazi. Colorless spells you cast from your hand with mana value 7 or greater have Cascade.
Double Cascade. Gross!
And they have to cut 7 or more goodness. Just to get the Cascade, so you're going to get 2 pretty good things.
You're going to get 2 good things out of your deck, most likely.
Unless you hit 2 mana rocks or something.
Yeah, that's like
you. Either way, sweet, I got 2 free mana rocks.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fun. Just go through your deck and find your shit. Well, that is the set, I believe.
Yeah. So what do you think? You're gonna probably pick up any of these commander decks? The Eldrazi and Sliver ones are really enticing.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
And there's enchantments and Super Friends on it, looks like.
I don't know. Yeah, Super Friends is fun. Eldrazi is always a great time. So, yeah, there's lots of stuff for people to do. You know, lots of different play styles that you can do with these cards. So, yeah, it'll be fun to see what... how these play, just let's be real, probably gonna get mixed together with other stuff because that's how people play Magic. So yeah, it'll be fun to see how this changes how Commander's played. So I'm sure we'll see some of these for sure.
Yeah, and if you decide to pick any of these up, don't forget we have a TCG player affiliate link you can use.
Yep.
It's in our show notes. And
we appreciate the support.
Yep. And don't forget to follow us on YouTube or Spotify if you want to, or anywhere, wherever you listen to your podcasts to get notified when our next episodes come out. YouTube, you'll get notified when our videos come out along with our video version of the podcast.
Yep.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for tuning in.